Hey, new patient group nation, welcome inside the broadcast booth. Brian right here, and welcome to season 4, episode number 6. Going to be talking about squirrels, trees, and the essential ingredients to retain high-level talent today. Thought this would be a good one. Coming off last podcast, I've gotten so many calls, and thank you for those, saying it was the best podcast, not only that we've ever done, but they have ever heard before. And you have no idea how much that means to me, because obviously we sit behind this broadcast booth. I sit behind this broadcast booth wanting to help all of you in as many ways as we possibly can. So I really appreciate it. The reason I bring that up is if you haven't gone back and listened to that podcast, if you haven't listened to it yet, I want you to go back and listen to it either before today's or immediately following today's, because you're going to get more out of today having listened to the last podcast than you will if you have not. What I'm going to do today, there's some stories that happen whenever you... And for those of you who haven't seen it, last podcast was the best marketing investment you're likely never to make. And there's a lot of great things that can come from that for your organization, but there's also some things that will really shed some light on, do you have the right people at your organization? There's some stories that I'm going to tell you just from the past, having clients in and out of healthcare. And some of you have already experienced this as new patient group clients. What happens when you actually go and implement that marketing investment? What happens? And it's a little bit, it's sad, but it's true. It's what all of you deal with. It's some of the employees you have working for you. So I'm going to tell some stories about that, but I thought it'd be fitting to do this podcast today. A lot of you are struggling to find great talent out there. With COVID, you know, and as ridiculous as this is, a lot of people are making more money sitting on their butts at home doing nothing than coming back and working for you. A lot of you are just having a hard time finding good people. So it's such an essential a piece of your success, as we teach out there, is how you lower your stresses, how you lower just the common everyday headaches that come with running a business as an entrepreneur, how you reduce those as much as you can while crushing the competition and not spending any money on advertising as well. That's what our whole company is about. It's what this podcast is about. And inevitably, this goes into it because there's headaches hiring, there's headaches firing, there's headaches trying to go out and find the right people. Then you think you do, then you don't, or you do find a great person, they leave, whatever it might be. Today, we're going to talk about some essential things in order to retain employees, but also some essential things that you need to think about with the employees you have on whether or not they can take your business to the next level. A lot of things we're going to dive into today. I think it's a great follow-up podcast from the last one. Hope everyone is great out there. Hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day. And hope you gave thanks to all the great men and women that fight so hard for our freedoms out there. My blessings are with you and your family. And before we get started today, let's fire up the music.
Now, broadcasting to the world.
Broadcasting to the world.
This is the New Patient Group audio experience, where doctors build their dream business so they can enjoy the heck out of their lives. And now your host, he's the founder and CEO of New Patient Group, managing partner of Right Chat, and international motivational speaker, Brian Wright.
Like I said in the front, hope everybody is doing great out there. Hope you had a blast on Memorial Day and hope you spent it with friends and family. But first and foremost, I hope you gave prayers and thanks to the people that really allow you all to do and what we do as well, allow all of us to do what we love to do is the men and women in uniform, whether they're currently in uniform, retired, passed away, whatever it might be. Hope you're giving constant thanks to them, their families, saying prayers for the ones that are in the battlegrounds. And I always like to say, and I apologize to all the men and women out there for those in this country that try to tear you down and basically make false accusations and things like that. Just know that the majority of the humans that are in this country are vastly behind you. This goes for all of our men and women in uniform, military, Navy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but also firefighters, police, all of that. You know, even though the military or even though the media and all these other clowns out there are trying to take you guys down, you know that you have your full support from the majority of the people in the United States. So ignore the media and how they make it sound like the majority, because the people who have a brain know that they're a joke. And we appreciate every single thing you do for us out there. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be able to sit behind this microphone in the broadcast booth and be able to speak my mind. It's all because of the freedoms you've allowed and the freedoms you fought for your family members over the course of generations. So really appreciate that. And I know our listeners appreciate it as well. Today's going to be a great episode. Like I said in the front, you know, this is a good follow-up episode to to the ones that we've done in the past, and especially this previous one that we did, the best marketing investment you'll likely never make. I'm just coming back from, you know, the relationship piece of this business is really cool. And I consistently say prayers and say thank you to how great our clientele is. I'm just getting back from Dr. Jeff Pascal, his practice, went and spent a couple days with him. And the day at his practice was fantastic, but I want to give a shout out to you, man, because I know you listen. Your family is incredibly kind and hospitable and is always, you know, very welcoming when I stay there. And I had a blast. So we cooked it up big time after we had an all day workshop with him and his team back to this house. His office manager, Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Came over. Her husband actually owns restaurants and had the honor of cooking for everybody. So it was Jep, it was his wife, it was his three kids, it was Lisa, office manager. I guess the two dogs were there too. They didn't eat, but I'm going to tell everybody I cook for them also. And those dogs, by the way, Jep, are my inspiration of why we just added a new member to all the listeners out there. A couple weeks ago, we brought home a brand new golden doodle. The thing looks like an Ewok and a teddy bear. It's so cute, it almost looks fake. And in pictures, it looks like one of Braden and Madeline's stuffed animal toys. But after being around Jep's two dogs, I just got just more and more passion and just was re-motivated to go back out and get a dog. So my wife and I were finally on the same page of which one we were going to get. We brought the dog home, and it's been fantastic. But had a great time with the Pascals there at his house cooking and a great all-day workshop. And that's what's so cool about our clientele is the fact that they're just people you want to hang out with. I call it, every one of the new patient group clients that stands today, that they're over themselves. They do not have the white coat syndrome. And if there is a relationship that does not go well with our company, is that we call it the white coat syndrome. If you believe that you are an exceptional clinician and that automatically makes you smarter than everybody else as it relates to anything non-clinical, the relationship with our company and you guys is not going to be good. And our clientele, even the biggest names that we have, are just some of the most down-to-earth, awesome people you'd ever want to meet. And I just love hanging out with them. So I really love that. Getting ready to leave to hop on a plane to go see Dr. John Graham in Salt Lake. And they're actually very good friends. So Jep and John are very close friends. They actually have a podcast together. It's called Ortho Seeds. So you should check that out. So going to go spend a couple days with John Graham and his office manager. We'll have a nice dinner. And then spend the day in the practice before flying back. A lot of great things going on. And it's just, like I was saying at the top, the relationships just continue to build with this company. And it's something I am so proud of and something that we teach all of you is that it's all about relationships. You cannot have a successful business that sustains itself without having to dump thousands upon thousands into advertising to constantly go out and shoot new deer and round up new people to come into your practice, into your business. What you have to do is you have to obsess over your clientele, over your patients, over your customers. And that is hard work. It's not easy. But you have to obsess over them because when you do, their results are so impeccable. They don't leave or they're unlikely to leave. Your referral rate goes up. And instead of them being clients, they become fans. And that's what I feel we have with New Patient Group. But that is also why we work so hard, and whether it be our YouTube station, this podcast, whatever it is, to produce content that teaches you it's all about the relationship. And that is also the case with how you treat your employees, is all about the relationship. If all you do is show up to work, that's the only time you ever see them, you don't do anything outside of work, you don't do anything surprising, you don't do anything special to enhance their experience, the culture does not support probably what your inevitable goal is, and that for any business owner is to get your business on autopilot without having to dump thousands in advertising. It's what our whole program is about. So there's these experiences. One, I've talked about it this season. It was a couple episodes ago. If you haven't listened to it, do it. It's the essential ingredient that's missing from your dream life and dream business recipe. And that one dives into inevitably what it is it talks about is the experience you have, because that's left out of so many culture talks, is that it doesn't start with your employees and it doesn't start with your customers. It starts with you. What your home life is like, what your business life is like, is it set up for your dream business and dream life? That's where it starts, because only then can you relay that enthusiasm, that passion, that happiness over to your respective employees. And I'm talking about employees for a reason here, because today we're going to talk about if you want your employees to climb trees, You have to be hiring squirrels. I'm going to repeat that again. If you want your employees to climb trees, you must be hiring squirrels. And there's a lot that's going to go into this. Today's not going to be a long podcast, but there are some points I want to get across because this is something that many, many of you, even the successful practices, the very successful practices, you still have leaky holes in your boat as it comes to this. And the excuse we get a lot when I dive into this is, Brian, we have to retain Susie, Susie make-believe name. We can't let her go because there's nobody else out there. We've tried. Who's going to be in the mouth? We've got to schedule people, et cetera. And I get it. So I understand that the message today doesn't come from left field in that I don't understand, empathize, sympathize with the situation that you're dealing with where it's hard to find people. However, as it goes back to being proactive about your business instead of reactive, this is something and a message today that I really want you to retain for the rest of your life. And we're not going to go in depth or too in depth because we reserve that stuff for our new patient group clients, but this is going to be high level. And I want you to keep this in your hiring methods and how you run your business for the rest of your life. First of all, let me talk about what I mean by hiring employees that can climb trees, hiring squirrels that can climb trees. There's a couple things here. One, you can hire, and again, I'm not calling you your employees dogs or pigs, okay? This is just an animal analogy. If you're hiring dogs and pigs with the inevitable goal that you want them to climb the tree for your business, you're going to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars throughout the course of your career, whether it be on consultants training them, whether it be on more advertising because your conversion's not high, a combination of both. You're going to be spending money and having high-level headaches for the rest of your life because no matter how hard you try, I don't care what your culture looks like, I don't care what the training schedule and regimen and role plays look like, hiring dogs and pigs, they will never be able to climb the tree, ever. They're going to get one paw up, one foot up, they're going to fall down, and that's as high as they're ever going to get, ever. And what inevitably happens in that situation is the squirrels that are sitting over on the side that can climb the tree, that are the high-level employees that you like, what inevitably happens is they get frustrated, more frustrated, even more frustrated, and inevitably what happens is you lose them. And I see it all the time, is that businesses have these people and they just refuse to get rid of them. And they try and try and try. They try to motivate. They try to bonus, which, by the way, and you all have to stop this. And this is one of the hourly employee syndromes that I see out there. You should never bonus for somebody doing their job. I'm going to repeat this. You should never bonus for somebody doing their job. This is a real epidemic and honestly something that I'm going to do a whole podcast on, but I want to do a tidbit of this right now just because I'm on the topic, is that you do not have to bonus people for everything they do. And if you do, you do not have a squirrel, all right? That would fall into the pig and dog category of not being able to climb a tree. All right, people should go the extra mile for you. They should do their job without being bonus for it. Bonuses are a whole nother, you know, if you're watching on our YouTube station and this is your job here, but you, without being asked, you go all the way up here to this level. Of course you give bonuses for people like that, but you don't bonus based on what their job actually is. That's just their job. And healthcare is the only profession I've ever seen in my life helping that feels that they've got to come up with a bonus for everything to get Bobby, Susie, and Nancy extra motivated to go out and actually do what their job description as listed on paper actually is. So stop that, because that's a direct indicator, again, of not having the right people. See, all of this going into or hiring squirrels, all of it goes into what internally that you walk into every single day. What does that situation look like? And if you're hiring people that cannot do the job, no matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, it creates a culture of negativity. It creates a culture of frustration. It takes your good people and makes them want to leave. And this is a big lesson. And I've had a lot of companies in my life, and to this day, I've never lost an employee that I didn't want to. I'm going to repeat that again in a different way. Anybody that I want to stay, anybody that I find that's good talent, helps our company a lot, they always stay. The ones that quit or the ones we have to let go are ones that we should have never hired to begin with, or they're ones that were bringing the, and they're ones that are bringing the company in some form or fashion down. So I pride myself on this company, meaning that we have an unbelievable employee retention rate with the ones that we want. And that is how you have to look at your business as well, is that you have to have a high employee retention rate for the ones you want. You want to set your business up in a way where the crap organically leaves on their own. I'm going to repeat that again. You want to set your business up in a way where the crap wants to leave on their own, okay? If your business is set up in a way where you do not have the crap quitting, you need to rethink how you're structured internally. And this podcast today literally could go for 6 hours because we could dive into HR and interviewing and over, which what we do with our new patient group clients. Today, again, on a high level, is reshifting your mindset on who you have working internally. And there's a couple stories I want to tell you for those that, and this is on the front end, if you've listened to the previous podcast, you're going to get more out of what I'm about to say. So I was kind of inside my head chuckling a little bit when I did the podcast last month, because there's some pretty amazing, horrific stories that come from business owners that take what I said in that podcast and actually go and do it. And the majority of businesses report back, unbelievable team building session. Can't believe what it's done for my organization. Now my employees are actually critiquing the customer service. Whenever we go places, they'll turn to me and say, you know, Dr. So-and-so, wow, boy, that's not what New Patient Group teaches us. I mean, they're terrible. They need some work. And you cannot, as a business owner, I cannot describe you in words how much that helps your organization. If your employees get to a level where they're actually critiquing the experience of other businesses, boy, oh boy, are you on the right path. Because a lot of that is just being aware of it. And if you're not trained at a high level, and again, far beyond being, you know, hey, Mr. Wright, and smiling, far beyond that. We're talking skill sets at a level that most hourly employees and most businesses can only dream of. Is that if they're critiquing other businesses, boy, you're on the right path. Well, here's what happens whenever you implement last podcast. You'll get that. You're also going to get people say thank you. You're also going to get people be more grateful to you because it's culture building sessions, all right? It's far beyond bonuses. It's experiences. Just like I was talking about at the front end of this podcast, it's way beyond your service. It's way beyond that. It's the experiences. Like, are you involved with the family members of the employees in your practice? Or do you invite them over to your house? Do you have a cooking night? Do you go somewhere nice? Do you do things together? And is it something that is absolutely critical and required to be a successful business? No, absolutely not. But it is if you want to have a successful business that's stress-free, where everybody is close, everybody knows, likes, and trusts each other. No different than how your respective clientele, customers, patients need to know, like, and trust you. You as an internal family need to know, like, and trust each other as well. So this is the story that you're also going to get. And this makes me cringe because it proves everything that we teach. This is summed up with these stories. So this was about 5 years ago, and about 10 years ago is when I really started heavily teaching what the last podcast was about, with that best marketing investment you'll likely never make. And, you know, we had done it prior to those 10 years. I had done it in my own organizations internally, but about 10 years ago is when I really started teaching it outwards. You know, I'm not just doing it for my own organization, but now we're going to teach it and teach other people to do it. And I get this story. It was a restaurant that actually did it at the time. And it was a local Italian place here in Houston on the north side out by Kingwood where I used to grow up, or where I grew up. So you've got that. And then recently, since I've done that podcast, a couple of you went and did it and reported this back, your new patient group clients. And the feedback on the podcast, like I said in the front end, was best podcast I've ever heard. Like it makes so much sense, something I never thought about before. And we implemented it. And props to you. And here's the feedback, and it was this. This will show you there's so many similarities from a business standpoint, because remember, all of you, the majority of what's happening inside your practice or when you do marketing outside your practice, it is no different than what every other entrepreneur and every other business trying to sell themselves to a consumer is no different. There's so many similarities. then you've got to come outside your comfort zone and outside your box, per se, to actually seek advice on those non-clinical things from non-clinical experts. Go outside your industry. Come outside your comfort zone and have people that are really going to challenge your status quo to make you think and do things differently than you've ever done them before. So what they report back on, and I can't help but laugh because it's sad. It's sad but true, is that you take them to a nice night out and they act like complete hoodlums. They get wasted. They're screaming. They're causing a scene. They're belligerent. They act like complete fools. Complete fools. And embarrass you as the business owner and your entire organization. And this absolutely goes into hiring squirrels to climb trees. So, before I was talking about that, it was relating to trainability. You have a front desk and you're going to invest in our phone training. Are they going to do it? Are they going to retain it? And do they have the ability, more importantly, to implement anything they're learning? You have a treatment coordinator or whoever you have in your respective organization that presents money, spends the most time with a patient throughout that given appointment. Can they learn proper sales fundamentals, presentation skills, consumer psychology to know what to say when, how to say it, tone, verbiage, posture, presentation, all of these things? Do they have the ability to take that in and go and execute it? No different than an athlete. Does the athlete, and this is what upper level management, general managers, analytics, constantly, it's the upper-level management, leadership team, and sports organizations to monitor talent to determine, can they execute it on the field? Can they take the coaching, and can they go on the field, and at what level can they do it? And if they can't, it's up to the organization to remove them. So it absolutely has to do with trainability. But first and foremost, before trainability, it's culture. It's culture. And we talk about it so much. What kind of culture do you have in your organization to set everything up for success or lack thereof? And it's also the employees. And this is a big part of what's left out with culture training. It's a big part of the employee's job to help you create an exceptional culture as well. It's not just the leadership team. It's each individual employee as well and how they treat their fellow family member internally. Do they go the extra mile? Do they say the right things? Et cetera, et cetera. Because if you want this organization that inevitably creates a brand of excellence in your community, and we teach everybody, look, what we want to do is make you famous, period. I'm not going to shy about it. We want to make you famous in your community, period. We want to make you so famous that there's people that are 30 minutes, an hour, 2-3 hours away that are willing to drive to you for their appointment. But there's a 1,000-piece puzzle here in order to have that happen. There's a reason why there's only a few famous companies out there. There's not many Ritz-Carltons, not many Walt Disneys. There's a reason for it, is it's hard. But once you get there, it becomes easy. It's pushing through the pain, which there's going to be a lot of podcasts upcoming about that. If you have people that are going to go to a nice place, and for many of them, remember, I talked about this in that last podcast, for many of you, or many of them, that may be the first time they've ever been to a high-level place in their entire life. There's a lot of people that work inside the practice environment that have never been on an airplane. So you have to remember who you have working for you, and do they have the ability to carry out an experience at a level that you expect? And these are a lot of people that have never been on an airplane, never been to a 5-star resort, never been to a $1,000 dinner. This is the things that I talked about last time on the podcast. So what inevitably happens when you do these things is you see two different splits. You see people that are extremely polite and extremely well-behaved, extremely thankful, and they are taking it all in. They are listening to the waiter's verbiage, how they're greeted when they walk through the door, how the whole experience is, and how it's made to make them feel. And they're taking it all in. Then you have people, and I am telling you, these are the exact same people that when you hire people to train them, when you do things internally, they're the exact same people that are untrainable. Is it the people that absolutely act like buffoons when you take them to those five-star places? They're just chugging down liquor. You know, instead of sipping the wine, they're chugging the glass. Give me another one. I was the Pretty Woman, if you've seen that movie. You know, he orders champagne the first night she's up in his room and gets strawberries for it. You know, and instead of sipping the champagne and eating a strawberry, you know, she chugs the champagne. She's like, give me another one. It's like that type of thing. Is that they're used to a certain behavior based on a certain type of experience that they understand. And it's just a belligerent night. It's an embarrassing night. And I am telling you, if you do what last podcast said and you experience that, the people that do that, you should fire them immediately. Well, Brian, we can't find anybody. Fire them immediately. Figure it out. You do it. You get in the mouth for a while. Because here's what it is. This essential ingredient, that the keys to keeping your good employees. One of the big pieces to keeping the good employees is not you being a sweetie. Is not you being a pushover. Is not you saying yes to everything and smiling. That is not the key. Those, ironically, are some of the keys to get your good people to constantly leave. And there's a whole host of podcasts and things that I'm going to dive into over the course of the years here in the broadcast booth that dives more in depth on why. But what you have to understand, and that really goes into the difference between being a leader and a pushover, and that's a podcast on its own. Heck, that's a 3-hour onstage presentation on its own. And you have to ask yourself, which one of those are you? Are you a leader or are you a pushover? Because leaders would never allow somebody to work for them and represent their organization and the experience that you expect when they go out to that type of experience organization and act that way. And this story, a lot of you can relate to out there. So the couple examples, the one 5 years ago that was outside the restaurant I was talking about, and then also the ones I was telling you recently from people that have done this and contacted me to tell me the story. There's a lot more of you out there sitting in your cars, listening to this, working out in the treadmill, listening to this, and you can go, yep, I've had it. I've done this. We took them to a really nice place. You got two people that appreciate it, three that act like total idiots. What do I do? And this is the reality all of you face. The more you set your business up in a way that's sticky, meaning that if you invest money in something, the employees know they absolutely need to implement it or they're out of there. If you set your business up in a way where you're constantly giving these unique experiences to your employees that are unexpected, memorable, unforgettable, no different than you want to do for your respective clientele, patients, customers. The key to all of this is if you want to keep your good people, you have to get rid of the bad ones. You can't let them linger. Don't give me this, well, they're great with patients, Brian. They're just not good with Susie and Joey internally. You got to get rid of them. It doesn't start with your patients, customers, clients. It starts with you inside the doors, you and the team. If Nancy, make-believe name, stinks with the team, it doesn't matter what she does with your patients. I don't care what her hand skills are. That's the other thing we get. Well, her hand skills are impeccable. That is such a healthcare mindset. It's not a business owner, entrepreneur mindset. It's a healthcare mindset that we teach so heavily, you got to get rid of that mindset. Okay, I don't care what her hand skills are. If she's a pain in the butt to your team, you got to get rid of her. And this is how you retain the good ones. This is how you wake up one day and all of a sudden you look across the board and Jeff Pascal, who I was talking about on the front end, is a perfect example of this. He's got a bigger team, very successful practice, and the team is just awesome. Every one of them. awesome. Why? Because they rid out the bad ones. They don't sit there and go, well, you know, we're not going to be able to squeeze 17 more patients in over the next 2 days if we get rid of this person. Well, you know, what are we going to do if we fire? No, they get rid of them. And they have the business set up in a way now where the bad ones organically leave. And that is something I so want all of you to understand, is that if you run a tight ship with high level accountability, it doesn't make you a mean corporation. It makes you a great parent. That's a podcast in itself also. A great parent is not somebody that just lets their kids do whatever. No, they have strict guidelines, strict boundaries, accountability at the highest level, consequence for their actions, and they raise highly productive adults, citizens. No different than a business owner. You've got to have this in a way. You've got to have repetitive training every single week, block an hour, like we talk about, role play for 80% of that hour. Have people stand up in front of their peers, do the things that are difficult to constantly be moving their skill sets forward. If you have businesses set up, and those are two examples of many, many, many that we teach our clients. But the point there is, and the reality there is that if your business is set up that way, and then every week you're role playing again, and you're listening to a mystery call, and you have visibility as a leadership team over what's going on in your organization. The ones that refuse to get better are going to quit. And that is a positive for your organization. The ones that want to get better, the ones that are there for you, the ones that are constantly looking at themselves in the mirror saying, what can I do to improve? They're going to stay because they have an organization that supports improving their skill sets. And all of this goes into hiring squirrels if you want your people to climb trees. You're not going to take somebody that goes out to a fine dining restaurant, you know, a table for two or four type thing where you're not getting out of there for under $700, $800 to $1,000. You're never going to take somebody there that acts, you know, they're belligerent, they're undisciplined, they're rude, they're loud. You're never going to take somebody like that and turn them into a rock star. I'm sorry, you're just not. No matter how much you feel sorry for, whatever it may be, you're not. And what you are going to do, though, by trying and trying again and again and again and again and constantly inside your head justifying why you haven't got rid of that person, in the meantime, you're going to be an organization that loses the good people. Now, I see this with my other company, RightChat. I see it with our agents, where we have lost a lot of people since starting that company a couple years ago. And I'm proud of every person we've lost, because they're every person we've lost we never should have hired to begin with. They were culture killers, didn't do their job when you weren't looking, that type of thing. But we have the business set up in a way, just like I'm talking about, where they organically quit or we get rid of them. Even if that causes short-term headaches by getting rid of them, it's always better long-term. Always. Always. Which is the other piece as a business owner you have to think about. You cannot think about what tomorrow looks like if you get rid of Susie. You have to look at it, what does 6 months, a year, 2 years from now look like if I get rid of Susie today? And this is not about, if any of you know me personally, hey, I teach this a lot better than I actually go and do it. I'm kind of a big baby. You know, I don't, you know, if you fire them, what's going to happen? Can they pay their bills? Like, all these thoughts run through my mind as well. And I understand that they run through all of yours. But the point is this is your baby. And it's hard to find good people. And you have to set your business up in a way to support the good people. You have to set your business up in a way to support your good people. If you sit there at your weekly meeting, and you have 8 employees. Let's say you have 2 TCs. And you role play, we'll call them Betty and Susie. And every week you show up, and you take 10 minutes of that 1 hour, and you say, look, TC, Betty, go. And every week, Betty shows initiative to get better. I'll relate her to, so Miranda, coming from Jet Pascal's practice recently, she is one of the best hourly employees I've ever had the opportunity to work with, ever in my career, ever. She is so obsessed with learning from us, and just not just from us, just period. But when we're there, she's taking notes. I mean, she stopped me multiple times before I walked out the door with Jeff at the end of the workshop day. And it's like, all right, let's go through these things again, what I need to work on before you come back, like that type of thing. And that is priceless as a business owner. So let's use Miranda's name. We'll use Miranda instead of Betty because she's the one, every time, every week, there's improvement. There's engaging questions. She actually clearly wants to get better all the time. And then you have make-believe name Susie. And every week, it's constantly a repeat yourself session. She clearly, from her body language, her posture, etc., clearly isn't getting better and doesn't care. Or she cares, but doesn't have the ability. She literally, physically cannot take the loop in her baseball swing and ever fix it. And there's two situations there. You have athletes, same with hourly employees, that work their butt off to fix it. They just don't have the ability to actually do it. And then you have the ones that could care less, don't fix it, or don't work hard to fix it, and they don't fix it. Those are easy to get rid of. The ones that are harder to get rid of are the ones that do care, and they work so hard to fix it, but they literally do not have the ability to do it. So you really have two situations there. But the point is here, if you constantly show up week after week after week dealing with the same problems that Susie's giving you, what it does is bring down Miranda. Don't you see everybody out there? You have an employee that shows up week to week wanting to get better and has the ability to get better and wants to push their needle, their skill set needle forward to help your business grow. And that, by the way, is how you bonus people. You don't bonus them on numbers. You bonus them on things that they personally can control themselves. And that's showing up week to week, showing improvement in the role plays. And there's a whole world of teaching that goes on in that bonus system because it's very, very, very entrepreneur. It's very different. It's how the billionaires create bonus systems in their organizations. It's not around numbers. It's around self-improvement, reading a book, showcasing that you read the book with a great presentation summary in front of the team. It's a whole other world of bonusing. And it works so much better than number-based bonusing. For a lot of different reasons. But you have to make a decision when you clearly identify somebody as not being able to climb the tree. You have to make quick business decisions to not have them work for your organization anymore. Because that is how you waste time, efficiency, profit. You waste the great employee's time because every minute you spend with the one that's never going to be able to get it is a minute you should be spending on the ones that not only are going to get it, they want to get it, and they're going to do whatever it takes to improve week to week for the rest of their life. And you can't imagine, there is no marketing investment on the planet that supersedes role plays with people that have the ability and want to learn. And that's the big thing that we talk about a lot is the employee training pillar. The two things, the one thing out of the three things we do under one roof with New Patient Group is that hardcore team training, role playing them on the skill sets that your competition will never commit to. But that only works if you have people that are willing to accept the training and then have the ability to go fix the loop in their swing. The other piece to this is as your industry adapts, which, boy, oh boy, is the healthcare industry adapting to a lot of changes. And for those of you who listen heavily, fans of the company, clients of the company, you know we call this the new economy. The new economy of the better business defeating the better clinician, while unfortunate, it is the reality. There's lots of examples why. Biggest one is the consumer can relate to your non-clinical abilities far better than your clinical abilities. So the practice that does the non-clinical things at a higher level experience-wise, the consumer can relate to that, and they're the ones they buy from. That's the simple short story answer to that. If you're the only practice in your community, it doesn't matter. But now in most communities, there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 25 Italian restaurants, using that analogy, within the same community. So at that point, it goes so far beyond your food in order to kick butt. It goes well beyond your food. And it's the same analogy as a clinician. It goes so far beyond what you actually sell, which is your clinical abilities. as industries adapt, you must have employees that can adapt with the industry. I'm going to repeat that. As your industry adapts, changes, does it 180, does it 360, whatever it might be, you must have team members that are able to adapt with it. Change on the fly, adjust their skill sets, adjust their mindset, be open-minded to, hey, this is how we did it 5 years ago, but now doesn't work that way anymore. And boy, oh boy, are all of you dealing with that from a healthcare perspective. But here's what I mean by that and how it relates to squirrels. If you want your employees to climb trees, you must be hiring squirrels. And it applies to so many different things that I'm talking about today. And this is another one. Is that if you have people that are able to climb trees and are willing to learn how to climb the tree better every single week, whenever your industry adapts, you're good. Why? Because now they climbed an oak last year. Now your industry adapts and they're able to hop over and climb the palm. Your industry adapts again, they're able to hop over and climb the red. And then the pine. And then whatever. You get the point. And that is invaluable, having team members. And they're usually the same people, meaning the Miranda example that I was giving you. And their whole team, really, Jep's whole team is really like this. I'm just using her as an example. Is that the people that are wanting to get better, the people that have the ability to then not only want to, but they have the ability to actually implement it, are almost always the people that are then willing to adapt when your industry changes. You know, 5 years from now, when I go into Jep Pascal's practice, as an example, we're going to be teaching very different things than what we do today. And this just drives me crazy. For all of you out there, I don't understand the mindset of we're going to hire a consultant or a company that teaches the same thing today as they taught 15 years ago. It's unbelievable to me that there are consultants in this industry that get paid by business owners, doctors, when they teach the same things now as they did 15 years ago. It's unbelievable. Because you've got to change year to year, period. Why? The industry changes year to year. The data changes year to year. The consumer changes year to year. So yes, there's foundational things that always work and always will. But there's also tons of high-level stuff and lower-level stuff that's constantly got to be adjusted and tweaked, which is why it's so critical to your success to have people that can adapt and switch trees and still climb them. Because like in Miranda's case, she'll not only be able to adapt, she'll be willing to do it. Oh, the changing's trace. So the last 2 years, we've been learning it this way. Now we get to learn it a new way. Cool. And this is why. Oh, cool. I'm on board. Let's do it. Let's role play. Give me what you got. Let's go. And there is no better marketing investment than people like that. And I get finding them is not easy. I get it. I totally understand it, which is why your business has to be set up in a way that whenever you do, they don't leave. And these are some high-level ways to do it. And this goes clinically, by the way. Hand skills, cleaning the sterilization room, setting up trays, handing you instruments, all of this stuff. Lab work, in-house retainers if you do them, in-house aligners if you do them, whatever it may be. You've got to have people that are efficient at it. If you teach them something new, chair side, do they implement it? When you role play with it, is there attitude about it? All of this goes back to retaining your great people. Nothing brings great people down more than crap. It creates so much frustration because all the time you're spending trying to get the crap to the top, you should be spending that same attention to the ones that are already there and want to get better. I love going into practices. Hey, Brian, you know, we're going to hire you and we're going to do phone training, or maybe they say TC training or whatever it might be. We'll just use the phones as an example. And they say, hey, I want you, you know, we heard a mystery call to one of your practices that have been with you multiple years and they're unbelievable. That's what we want to get to. We say, okay, all right. So, you know, let's talk to your front desk people. So your front desk people come on and they have no personality. They don't even want to be there. They sound bored. They sound rude and standoffish, you know, that type of thing. Meanwhile, as a business owner, you're like, hey, take these people to the next level. And I sit there and I say, good luck. know, this is the reason why our retention rate as a company is about 99%. This is the reason why the results our clients get are off the charts, really unheard of in healthcare. Honestly, when I discuss them, a lot of people don't even believe us. Because not only are they growing at 25, 30% a year levels, they don't spend any money on marketing. Nothing. They do organic online content with us. They train their people, and then they look at themselves in the mirror from a business owner standpoint. That's it. Nothing else. But these are the type mindset shifts they make. Is they realize your business has to be set up in a way, first of all, where the employees understand that they're not needed. And what I mean by that is you can never have employees hold you hostage. If your business is being held hostage by any one of your employees, it means the business is not set up right. You have to set it up to where you, if you have to let somebody go or they quit, you don't have to go out and hire somebody else. But even if you do, you have to understand you're still in a better spot if you're in that spot than keeping somebody that's ruining your culture, wasting your time. Who knows what kind of brand they're not helping you create out there. They're bringing other employees down. I say all the time, it doesn't matter how good you are in the locker room or on the baseball field if you're messing up the locker room, the clubhouse. Because inevitably, no matter how good you are, three or four other players, you're bringing their skill sets and the ability for them to play at a high level down. And that's the piece that's looked so often. If you're one of those people that have, because every practice seems to have one of these people. You know, Joey is so good with our patients. Hand skills are so great, but he's such a jerk to the employees. That type of thing. Okay, we can't let him go because he's so good with the patients. We need somebody. See, what you're overlooking is the damage Joey is doing to all the other employees' performances. And it's exactly what happens in sports. Oh, this guy's incredible on the basketball court. Amazing player. Total jerk inside the clubhouse. And meanwhile, player A, B, C, and D are having bad years. Why? Because of that jerk. And that's what happens all the time. So the domino effect of Joey not being good with your team is much worse and far supersedes the good Joey does with your patients. Because that's another ability. People like that don't all of a sudden wake up tomorrow and become great culture builders. Those are people that are not squirrels. They will never be able to climb the tree. And the longer you hold on to them and the longer you have in your mind, well, we can't do this. We're not going to be able to fill this chair with a patient. We got to get people through treatment. As long as you have that healthcare mindset, you will always be in the spinning wheel of higher advertising dollars, lower conversion, and you as a business owner not having as much fun as you deserve, because that's the fun of being a business owner. If you're not having fun, you might as well go work for somebody else. And see, the inevitable lesson here is you have to look in the mirror and say, do I have the right people? Front desk, do they have the personality to where if I invested in New Patient Group to come in and give me phone training that's so advanced, such high level, are they going to be able to implement it? If the answer is no, you need to find somebody that will. Same with your TC, same with your assistants, same with, the list goes on and on. If you have a janitor that comes in at night and, hey, there's 10 new ways to clean quicker, clean more efficient, make everything smell better, make it match more COVID protocols for your patients, let's say, and they can't do it, you've got to find a new janitor. You're going to hop on an airplane and there's 10 new ways to fly the plane that Joe just learned in the simulator, but yet he can't execute it flying the plane. Joe can't be a pilot anymore. It's no different than your practice. You can't sit there as an airline and train Joe for the next 20 years hoping he finally goes and implements it. And that's what happens all the time inside practices. In these really sad stories of implementing the last podcast, only to see, and this, by the way, these are the people that go out and act like buffoons. And hourly employees listening, we have a lot of them. Because a big part of our goal as a company is not only business and life coaching for the owner, it's also that for the employee. Because a lot of them feel stuck. You know, I mean, they're maxed out somewhat in what they're going to make in their career. They may not know how to ask for a raise. Maybe their boyfriend's treating them bad. Like, there's a lot of things that affect them too that we like to help. I love helping. So we're not anti-hourly employee. All of you know that. But the reality is we are anti-people that go out when their boss invests in an exceptional experience for them and they act like complete buffoons. We are anti them. Because you're never... You have to realize that you as a business owner, that's who you trust to carry out an exceptional experience to your clients, customers, patients. Doesn't that scare you? And don't you realize that nothing you'll ever do will ever get them at a level necessary ever in this new economy of competition with people shopping more than ever before to get those turned into value-based buyers where you can charge more than the five others they're shopping and they still pick you? You have to do things at exceptional levels, and there's a way to do it. And one of the ways not to do it is retain those people, because not only will they not be able to carry it out ever, they're also going to get you to have high employee turnover with the people that you want to stay. And it's a horrible feeling, isn't it? As a business owner, you're like, oh, God. Oh, man, we really love Nancy, and now she's leaving. She took another job. Or we really love Nancy, now she's pregnant, and she's going to decide not to come back. Well, guess what? If your culture was better, if you had more employees that could climb trees like her, she would come back. Or she would be much more likely to come back. You have to have people that have the ability, that when trained, the ability and the want to actually go and do it. You have to have people that wake up every day and help their team members climb trees. Create a better culture. We'll use that analogy. You've got to have people that, and this goes back to the three pillars, culture, training, online marketing. You've got to have people willing to put their face on camera and shoot good organic content because that's what moves the needle in today's competitive marketplace. If you have people inside your practice that are, I don't want to put my face on camera, that's not fair. Do I get paid for it? Boom, you're done. Because those are not squirrels that are going to climb a tree. You're always, that mentality will never change. And this is where the business owner in healthcare, they got to figure out, okay, let's come up with some bonus plan for people shooting content. No, content is your job. Now, maybe whoever shoots the most in a given month above a certain number, it's like everyone's got to shoot at least one, and anybody that shoots above that gets entered into a contest to win something. I'm cool with that because that goes into their skill sets, their want to, their drive, their initiative. And if you don't get bonus, tough. You should have done more content. But see, all of this goes back to the people that want to do it, the people that can do it, the people that have the initiative, the drive, so on and so forth. This whole business aura is exactly what they want. They strive for it. You go to an event, you come back, you have six new ideas. One of the best ways to get rid of your good employees is for them to go, oh boy, here we go again. Dr. So-and-so flew to some consultant's practice for consultant's event for a weekend, came back with all these new ideas. He's done this 25 times prior. Nothing ever works. So he's going to tell us to change. 3 weeks, it's going to go back to how it was. This stinks. I'm out. The bad employees, the ones who can't climb trees, love if it doesn't stick because it's not any more work for them. You see the difference. Oh, Dr. So-and-so, and this is the difference in the attitude compared to what I just said, compared to this. Hey, Dr. So-and-so just went to some event, but we know, you know, nothing ever sticks in this practice. So just kind of ignore it, let him do his thing, and it's all going to go down the toilet, and we'll just keep doing what we do. Do you see the difference? See, the Mirandas of the world from Jeff Pascal's practice will get frustrated every single time that happens. The make-believe name Susie's is another practice as an example. She's going to be happy every time it goes down the drain because it's no more additional work for her to learn skill sets to actually change and make it sticky, implement, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got the Nancy's of the world bringing down the Mirandas of the world. The next thing you know, Miranda gets a job that's a dollar or two more an hour somewhere else and she leaves. You have to have squirrels to climb trees. You cannot fill your system with other animals that do not have the ability to climb a tree. I want you to rethink your entire organizational hiring process, the people you currently have. You need to look in the mirror and you got to say, do I have people that can climb trees? Am I hiring squirrels? Because everything I'm talking about today is essential to not only finding the right people, but then retaining the right people. It's also essential in getting rid of the ones that will never climb a squirrel for you their entire career. Either they may have the ability, but just won't work to do it, or they don't have the ability. So really quickly before we end today, just hiring a squirrel isn't necessarily going to get you there. You've got to hire a squirrel. Bam, they have the ability to climb a tree. Now, are they trainable to climb the tree faster, more efficient, adapt, et cetera, et cetera? So there's multiple ways we could go on and on for this. But I want today to change your mindset and how you're looking at your people. You keeping the people that are bringing you down is only going to get rid of the good employees. You've got to hire the right people, you've got to train them the right way, and you've got to have the people that have the initiative to get to the top of the tree and then jump to another tree and climb that one as your industry adapts. You do that, you lower your stresses, you have more fun, you have a better culture, you have people that get along. Imagine waking up to work every day, you have fun. Let's shoot some social media content. Oh yeah, that's awesome. Let's use our hour weekly meeting. We'll knock out 5-10 new videos. Come on, let's do some funny things together. Imagine that type of aura, that type of culture that you get to show up to every day. And the only way that happens is if you have employees that can climb trees. If you're hiring squirrels that can climb trees, the only way that's inevitably going to happen. I hope everybody had a great time listening today. I hope you can take this information, go back and implement it, rethink your organization, hiring strategies, the people you have working for you now. I want you to rethink what that looks like, and I want you to always be looking for squirrels that can climb trees, do it the fastest, the most efficient, etc. And if you do, you're going to be much better off. Hope you had a great time listening today. Appreciate all your support out there. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.